Hello, this is my Lenten Diary for March the 26th, 2025. Today is Wednesday in the third week of Lent. This is a reading from Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. As they were going along the road, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Here ends the reading. The vetting process for would-be disciples is straightforward for Jesus. It sort of boils down to a question and a comment. Are you all in or only a little bit? Because if it's just a little bit, you're out. This probably strikes the modern ear as too direct and too extreme. Jesus seems remarkably inflexible in today's passage. The first would-be follower is confronted by the reality that there's no housing security afforded a disciple. "Follow me and you'll be worse off than foxes and birds," Jesus promises. The second is confronted with the urgency of the gospel. There isn't even time to have a decent funeral for a loved one. The third is confronted with the way in which following Jesus fundamentally reorders one's familial relationships. Choosing family over Jesus appears to mean not choosing Jesus at all. This way of understanding discipleship as a fundamental reordering of every aspect of our lives runs counter to the ways in which most of us approach our identities as Christians. In 21st century America, plenty of us see our call to discipleship as additive, meaning we add religious observance to an already overloaded schedule and overfilled life. We use gospel teaching as sort of a spiritual schmear, something that may color us with the essence of Christianity, but without any challenge to explore the implications of saying we are followers of Jesus. In fact, for any preacher to even suggest that following Jesus has a real-world cost is for said preacher to risk plenty of anger and criticism for being so out of touch with the world in which they live. I have to admit, rereading Jesus' words in today's passage challenged me in my own commitment. I realize how often my loyalties are divided and how frequently I struggle with following Jesus wholeheartedly. In the words of the prophet Isaiah, "I am a man of unclean lips who lives in the midst of a people of unclean lips. God, have mercy upon me." But the grace of God continues to call me to a deeper walk with Christ. Maybe the life of faith isn't about getting it right all the time. Maybe the life of faith is about returning to the path even after getting it wrong. As I was thinking about today's reading, I was reminded of a passage from Dietrich Bonhoeffer's book, The Cost of Discipleship. I'd like to share it as a reflection on what it means for each of us to respond to Jesus' call. Bonhoeffer writes, "The cross is laid on every Christian. The first Christ suffering which everyone must experience is the call to abandon the attachments of this world. It is that dying of the old person which is the result of their encounter with Christ. As we embark upon discipleship, we surrender ourselves to Christ in union with His death. We give our lives over to death. Thus it begins, The cross is not the terrible end to an otherwise God-fearing and happy life, but it meets us at the beginning of our communion with Christ. When Christ calls a person, he bids that person come and die. God grant us the strength to answer Christ's call to follow him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Let us pray. O God, the strength of all who put their trust in you, mercifully accept our prayers, and because in our weakness we can do nothing good without you, give us the help of your grace, that in keeping your commandments we may please you both in will and deed, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.